Hello, everyone. Welcome back again, once again, to the Awakening Wave Show. This is a time where we're all riding the wave of transformation through, yes, the Ascension Cycle. And again, for those of you that do not know what the Ascension Cycle is, please go to thecreationlightship.com and to the left of the pane is lots of information on Ascension and much more. So feel free to check it out. So I want to say thank you to all my subscribers. Please feel free to email me on any topic that you would like to hear about on the show or share your experiences. So much appreciation for your support and love. And again, the email address is awakeningwave@gmail.com. I'd like to say a shout out to MJ, my new friend from New Jersey, another sister that I met through our communications and some of the social medias, and Sharon from Texas. I'm going to meet her soon in, like, I do believe 14, 15 days, counting down. So they're saying that the planets will be aligning tonight. I don't know if any of you have heard about it, but very interesting. They say that you will be able to see Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars without a telescope. So check it out if you're out and about tonight. And also want to say to the newcomers, we have great shows here on Station 1. You just heard the PRQ Homestead at 1 p.m. If you are interested in learning about homesteading, it is an amazing show. We show you how to do it, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that on my show today. PRQ Timelines, that is every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then every other Saturday, there's the Whiplash Show with Sunshine. She's absolutely awesome. Hers is at 3 p.m. Eastern, and that will take place next Saturday. And then, of course, the Inspiration with Q and Sunshine, and possibly Aloha. Who knows who will show up on that show? And that's every other Saturday, which will be happening next Saturday. And then today, Unstoppable Love with my friend Lauren. She is at 5 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, ending the day with the Best Project Review with Q every Saturday at 6 p.m. So awesome shows. Check them out. And one last shout out to, not last, but another shout out to my sponsor, Nano Ojas. And for those of you that have never heard of it, it is not a pharmaceutical. It is a nutraceutical. Key ingredients, polycosanol from sugarcane extract, vitamin E and water, but not just any water. It is manufactured using nanotechnology in an FDA-approved facility in Switzerland. It helps regulate the immune system. It also serves as an effective antimicrobial agent. It will also improve longevity, reduces, this is my favorite one, inflammation and pain, because I work out a lot and I do feel that every now and then when I overstrain my muscles. It reverses aging. It also is a substitute for vitamin D and C. It assists with cardiovascular health, improves energy levels, and rejuvenates the skin and much more. So check it out, www.nanoojas.net. There is a learning tab where you can find out the scientific information on the product along with testimonials. And if you're interested in purchasing the product, you can get a 15% discount with the Awakening Wave 63 code. Just put that in there when you do the order. And then, last but not least, a shout out to Retreat Magic. Lucia, Nicola Evans, and Margie Barbier. 14 days and counting down for the Costa Rica retreat. The most amazing time ever. And I know because I have been there and looking forward to the return. If you are interested in reviewing the website, just go to www.lucianicolaevans.com and check it out. I don't know if they have any spaces left, but it's never too late to do that last minute trip. So today we are having the Mountain Man, also known as Mike, for part two We got into some conversation last show and just wanted to carry that over, so I will bring him on momentarily. My next show before the trip will be February 8th. I'm believing that I'm going to bring Tracy back to kind of get an update on how Jet is doing, her son. And if you all remember, when I did the interview with Q, she came on the show and he assisted her with some issues that she was having. And we're going to get an update and see how Jet is doing. So I don't know about all you guys, but last week, what a week. My experiences last week, lots of challenges in regard to the weather. Holy mackerel. Not just in the US, but worldwide, because I have friends in London, I have friends in Germany that have had unusual weather, very cold. And I might add that the weather patterns have been very off, that is for sure. I experienced some frozen pipes, but I said my commands before I went to bed the night of. And at 4 a.m. in the morning, when I went to use the bathroom, all of a sudden I hear water. And within 2 hours, I had the full pressure back, no pipes broken. Oh, what a relief it was. So, very interesting week. Definitely had some happy moments like Monday, the 21st. I think it was the 20, no, it was the 20th when Mr. T was back. America is back in the saddle again. Hell yeah! Hell yeah. I can't help it. I get excited. I can't help when I get excited. I'll try to control it. So, in coming home after my day of work, I do some surfing on YouTube. There's things that I want to know about. I don't watch the news, but I do like to check in and see what's going on out there in the big world. And of course, Jordan Maxwell came up. And I love watching his videos. He has so much great information to share. And on so many subjects, and one of them is religion, and this man really knows his stuff. And one of the parts where he said, and I just wanted to quote this, he said, "There is a really important question you might want to ask yourself. How important is it really to know the truth about anything, especially here in America? How really important is it to know the truth? The factual truth about anything. I don't know about you guys, but it's very important to me. I've been a truth seeker all my life, even when I was a kid. All right. If there was something that didn't make sense to me or didn't, resonate, I was always, okay, that doesn't make sense. Please explain it, And when you're a kid sometimes and you say that to an adult, they don't much like it. But anyway. So my journey began with the pandemic. I listened to a lot of different YouTubers. It started with the Jesus Strand, Truth.com, and many more. Went down lots of rabbit holes, like a lot of you out there that are listening to today to the show. I found Q through LWS, and I think I stumbled upon LWS through, I'm going to say, Telegram, possibly. I don't really recall because it's in the past. And at the time when we were doing what we were doing, there started some infiltration started coming in, and we ended up leaving and migrating over to BBS Radio and followed Q to the Zora and Zarea show and continued to follow Q here to present day 2025. Yes, I am officially a Q-tard. I admit it. Yes, I'm a Q-tard. Now, a lot of people out there don't always agree with what he says. And you know what? He's here to share information with us and like he says, take what you will and what you don't, just leave it. He's spot on. There's some things that he says to me that I get really confused on. And then there's things that I only go, I have to listen to it a few times and go, okay, yeah, I get it now. So that's kind of how I learn. And I have learned much about the real truth in this linear time and have become aware of the reality of this holographic matrix. And it is a holographic matrix, especially for you people that are just listening to the show. So for those that are, just keep an open heart and an open God mind in regard to the information that I am sharing on the show. Okay. And I'm going to say the same thing. Take what resonates and what does not, leave it. It's that simple. It really is that simple. We are all on this path that we chose to experience in this lifetime here on planet Earth. And it has its ups and downs, that's for sure. Now, I have used many tools on my journey, books, internet, travel, going within. And today we are going to discuss the Kundalini. I have questions about that. Mike is here to, kind of chat with me about it. And we're going to kind of bounce off of each other. Also, the reality of sexuality, hyperspace, oversoul basics. And if you have not listened to part one, it is posted in the archives on my page of BBS Radio. Search talk shows, The Awakening Wave Show. Make sure you put the, because you won't find it if you just put Awakening Wave. You can subscribe to BBS Radio. It is free. And if you would like to subscribe to my page, there are four packages starting at $2.99 a month. Feel free to do so. All right, without any further ado, Mike, come on down. There he is.
Robin. Yeah, sorry about that. I was muted.
That's okay. It happens. So, Mike, I was going to kind of tell the audience a little bit about yourself, but I'm going to let you do that. So if you wouldn't mind sharing, you know, a little bit about your background, just for the new listeners here.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about myself. Not overly impressed with, like I told you earlier today, if you're looking at my resume, I won't get the job, you know? So I've been in New York, I don't know, over 50 years, probably. Spent some time on active duty in the Marine Corps, as well as the reserves. I woke up, I was red-pilled in 2020. I did a one-on-one with Q and Antonio because I was in the programs. Q removed an overlay from me during that, and I had been diagnosed as an adult with ADHD. And my entire life, I always felt like the idol to my engine was really on high. And within minutes, all of that was gone. And for the first time in my life, I was at peace. And so much for ADHD, right? So since then, I was hooked on Q, been following him, Creation Lightship, Lucia Nicola Evans, Stuart Swerdlow, Saskia the Dragon. Been trying to touch as many high-level beings as I possibly can. That quest continues. And as a result, I'm happy to say that I feel I'm a completely different person now as a result of all that.
That's amazing because, you know, I'm actually was diagnosed with ADD, but I was never on medication or anything like that. But I did hear stories that when I was a child, and I guess back in the 50s or 60s, they put harnesses on the kids from what I hear. And because I was always trying to run out of the backyard and I was tied to a tree so I wouldn't run out of the yard. Okay, that's a little weird, but okay. I do have a daughter that is ADHD, and unfortunately, when she was little, I trusted the doctors, and we did the medication route, and I kind of regret that, but that's in the past, so I feel you on that high energy. And, you know, when I got my programming back to from Swerdlow, he said, "You tend to go fast." Understatement. So I was just listening to the Homestead show, and I love how you said, "I'll take it over." I love that. That was great. But let's talk about where we're at. I just want to talk about what I'm doing with it, because I want to create a website. You wanted to create a website so that we can make this easier for others to come on the show and navigate through, or not come on the show, but go to the website and navigate through it to access documents. And we could also help them learn how to get the patents from the BLM. So you shared with us in a collaboration last night with some of the documents that, and the way that you wanted to set it up. And I loved your idea. So do you mind sharing that with everyone?
Yeah, sure. It's still a ways off if it even comes to fruition, but basically take the documents that Q has hung on BBS and convert those into PDFs, right? Fillable formats, fillable feed PDFs, where somebody can just log on to the website, type in certain information, right? Because there's a very limited pool of information that you would need to complete all of those forms, as well as the quick claim deed, etc. Pay a minimal fee of, you know, like $17. I like that price point for several reasons. And then just, you know, hit print or email, and then you get those documents. And with that, you get essentially a cookbook, right? A recipe. On day one, do this. On day two, do this. All the way through to the last day of the process. And then you're done.
Okay. So when you say fillable PDFs, are you talking, because PDFs, you can't really put information in. Or is that just going to the website and then dropping the information into a PDF so that it can't be changed?
Right. There's really no need to change the documents, right? And proof of that is how people have been successful with the documents that they got from BVS, that website. So for that price point, essentially what you're doing is saving the people the trouble of having to retype those documents.
Okay.
And, right. And so, yes, the PDF, you wouldn't be able to change it. All you have to do is insert the name of, for example, the grantor, name of the grantee, the date, the witness, that type of information.
Right. Gotcha. You know, what we have done over here in Michigan is we've actually used the Google Docs. And we found that easy to like collaborate and then change information, but then put it in a PDF and send it to the other person. And if there was changes they needed to make, then they could convert it back into a Word document. So that kind of was an easy flow for us. But when you're talking about a website, I can see where you don't want the information to be changed, especially when it comes to the information in the document that needs to be there. So I really like the idea. And you're right, trying to put it together on a website and collaborating every day and just getting our ideas together as to how we can do this on a massive scale. Is that your intent?
Yeah, to make it as easy as possible for people to homestead, right? So you take the thought process out of, you know, what do I do? What do I file? Did I do this right? You know, and like Q said today, you don't have to follow this process. You know, if you want to stay completely out of mind energy and you just want to flow with it and hit the easy button, that's what my intent is with this website. And then that's just part one. Part two would be something that you were talking about. It seems that you're interested in, and that would be helping people to navigate through the BLM website / documents on how to find the patent to their land. If one exists.
Yeah, because actually that was the tedious part for me is how to do that. But I'm a hands-on, so if I'm actually doing it, then I learn it better. So yeah, definitely that I think is what probably holds people back from jumping in. And for me, when I saw the redacted documents that were on BBS, I get anxiety when I see stuff like that. I'm going, oh, how am I going to do this? You know? So right. It really.
Exactly. And you're not the first. And that's what, and having been an attorney for, you know, over 20 years, I know that that's a typical reaction for people, which is why if they don't even have to see the documents, right? All they're brought to a page where it prompts them for the information. Who is the grantor of the property? And you type it in. Who's the grantee? You type it in, you know, stuff like that. Then hit complete and the computer and the website will do everything else.
Yeah, but and that sounds real simple, but when it comes to putting the means and bounds and all the information from the actual warranty deed and making sure that that's exact on all the documents and actually always going back through your documents and make sure that you got, you know, not double letters as we found in some of the documents that Kelly shared with us, but those weren't anything major. It wasn't anything major that would have deterred the process. But it's little things like that that could if we ever got pushback. So always making sure that you're checking the documents for sure.
Right. Well, now keep in mind, the documents that are hanging on the BBS website give you an option. You can either type the actual description, the meets and bounds description of the property in question into the document, or you could just put in there, see Exhibit A. And then
Right.
you know, whoever the homesteader is would have to go and get a copy of the Exhibit A, which would be found in the original patent, right? Description of the land, and then attach that separately. So you don't have to do that necessarily in the computer. You just have to go and get it and add it to the document. That would be the one step outside that you would have to do.
Okay. All right. And I haven't done it that way. And so for me to comprehend it, I would have to actually do it and then I would understand it better. So, because like I said, I'm a hands-on, so I get that. So I actually received my signs this week and I'm ready to go put them up in the yard. And I don't want to wait another, I think I have less than 30 days, but I'm just going to roll with it. I'm just going to put the signs up and I'm going to send my letters in and just see what happens. And I don't always follow the rules. That's just kind of how I am. I'm
Well,
not
on this, you
big.
got to be exact, right? Because you're going to have to sign an affidavit somewhere down the road saying that this is what you did. So you don't want to cut corners.
Well, I
You can
already
post
did.
them early, that I don't think there's any harm in doing that, but you have to give the minimum amount of
Oh
numbers.
yeah, I agree 100%. I do have the affidavit of all the important documents, but as far as sending the letters to the agents, I don't see why we need to wait on that, you know? I mean, by the time it gets to them and they read it and all that, I'm ready to go and I'm willing to take that chance. So we'll see. We'll see what my heart tells me to do and then we'll roll with it. So that's where I'm at on it. Okay, so let's move into what I've been very curious about. Now, a few shows back, I'm going to say a couple months back, I had a conversation with, I do believe it was Q and the Mermaid, and talked about the Kundalini, and we did talk about the masturbation because I wanted to know if masturbation was something that was programmed into us, or if that was something that is a natural thing for humans. So, not that we're going to get in deep depth about that, but there is something in one of
Thank
the
you.
what?
Thank you.
You're funny. Okay, so. What I have learned in my source, which is the Kundalini and the Chakras, written in 1991. So I don't know how accurate this information is. It's kind of an older version. And I know that the mermaid talked about, do you remember the name of the book? You said it to me the other day, Ma the Mary Magdalene series. Correct? No? Don't recall?
It's escaping, yeah, my
All right.
mind.
No worries. No worries. Okay. So. I'm going to kind of just give a roundabout explanation of what is coming from this book. So it says that the energy lies in the base of our spines. When released, it may feel like some waves, you know, and I take waves as emotions, flames, as maybe hot flashes, pulsations, or an uncoiling, which is like unwinding. There are layers of the Kundalini that are waiting to be released. When the energy is ready to be released, it starts from the spine and moves up to the top of the head, which a lot of us refer to as the crown chakra. And this comes from my source, the Kundalini and the chakras. So would you say that that's pretty accurate from your, I know you don't know much about it, but we did talk about it last night, and I do believe that you concurred with me on that.
Yes, that's what I've heard too.
Okay. So then it goes to say that the Sanskrit, which means circular power, it is each of our evolutionary forces. We all are born with some of this energy already flowing. The amount of the energy available for use depends on whether or not you have a high or low intelligence, maybe genius or somewhere in the middle. Now, I'm not really sure about that statement, but I don't think it matters whether you're, but maybe it does. Who knows? That might be part of the programming. Which brings me back to what Q said a few months ago, and I don't know if you recall this, where he said women are not supposed to carry the child for 9 months, and the reason being is that the dark wanted to dumb the human being down. So I'm wondering if that is what they're talking about when they say high or low intelligence, maybe genius, or somewhere in the middle. And that is to be researched still. Now, I didn't go deep into that, but that is what I recall from what he said. Now, all of us will experience the Kundalini at some point in our lives. And from some of the other research that I've done, it usually happens later in life. Lots of people don't even know about the Kundalini, and that is true. And I'm certainly sure that the doctors don't know about it because I've never heard them mention it to me. Have they ever talked to you about it?
Never.
Okay, hey, by the way, you're having all these signs, and I think it's the Kundalini. I don't think so. All right, so I've never heard that. So what is your experience with it? I mean, do you know much about it, or it's just like something you've never heard of, right?
Yeah, I only heard about it a few years ago, right? About a year or so after I was red-pilled. And what I heard was it can be very dangerous if it's forced and the individual is not ready for it. And there are different ways to try and activate it, but there was so many drawbacks to it if it was done incorrectly that I just shied away from it. And then later I found out that Ron Amatron actually talks about it in two of his radio shows. And he kind of was like steering away from the issue as well. So I'm glad that I did the same.
I wonder why that is. I'm curious. I want to know why that is. I mean, but when I read about it, it really sounds a lot like what we're doing with the Ascension, you know?
I would agree. And the whole Ascension process is just that. It's a process, and it's preparing us for, you know, that final step.
Okay.
Because from my understanding, when the Kundalini, the quote, Kundalini awakening, to me, sounds like the Ascension, because that's when we get, you know, all or at least a large portion of our abilities back. We get the quantum computer, you know, the ability to see into the other frequencies or dimensions, however you want to posture that term. And people are not the only ones that are going through it. The planet is going through it as well.
Yep. That's 100% true. And, you know, I was just outside today and the winds are really in. Like, whenever I feel the wind like it is today, I know something's going on with the earth. Something's happening. So the source goes on to say, okay, and now tell me if you've not heard this before. It says, the action of the Kundalini is similar to peeling off the outer layers of an onion. Now, where have we heard that analogy before? And I will say one, I think I've heard it. I can't remember where I've heard it, but I think Q has used that as an analogy before. So what I'm learning in regard to it is that it is also kind of similar to what Stuart Swerdlow says in regard to the flow chart of creation. And I'll get back to that in a minute, because that was pretty interesting. I got into that a little bit. So as they go on, they say there's little information available for people who have not heard of the Kundalini and wonder at the causes of their physical, mental, or emotional suffering or breakdowns. But then again, that it reminds me of the awakening, all of the stuff that's coming up that we're releasing through our ascension. So again, another similarity. So some people start to release before they are even ready or understand the process and start to experience problems in their lives. Again, as I said before, it relates to our awakening and understanding of the true magnificent beings that we are, that we really are. So for example, this is what I have for an example, what it might feel like. So imagine 220 volts of electrical energy. So take, for example, a treadmill, and then it runs on a 110 volt electrical outlet. What do you think is going to happen? You're going to have circuit boards start to dysfunction, fuses blow, etc. And that's kind of like what it feels like physically. But there is another side to it also. When the person releases the many layers, this process could happen instantly or may release over a long period of time, linear time, we'll say. So when it happens instantly, the being may be in a beautiful state for days, having feelings of beautiful new understandings, physical strength, feelings of bliss, and feelings of arriving to great enlightenment. So then once you achieve this, it tends to dissipate and the clearing process begins. This is when the junk starts to come up. Again, sounds like ascension to me. What do you think? Or what do you feel?
I agree.
Because that's kind of what it is, you know? as we become more aware, and especially with the frequencies increasing, we're starting to feel things come up from our subconscious, from past lives, whatever it may be. And I for one, experienced some patterns this past week, and the fight and flight, for instance, which I talked about yesterday during a group collaboration. So the energy blocks begin to surface. And if you have energy blocks of attitudes or old emotional scars, physicality can complicate the release if you have poor posture or injuries. Okay, for instance, you know, if your body, if you have issues, like for me, I have a broken elbow, and I remember going to the doctor and they said, you know, we can put a steel plate in it, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? I'll just give this one to God. And at that time, I was really talking about God, didn't realize that I am God. Okay. So I did my own healing. Isn't that interesting how I didn't know that at that time. And here I am, what, five years later, and I'm bench pressing, I'm doing push-ups, I'm doing everything you can possibly do. Now, is my arm completely straight? No, but do you notice it? Not really. But then I go, if the energies are leaving or moving up and down the body, are these going to be blockages for us even when we are ascending? How do you feel about that?
I don't think it'll be a game stopper or a show stopper to ascension.
Yeah, because and I agree too. So it can also be the physicality can complicate the release of your poor posture or injuries. So, you know, to me, you know, in the tailbone, and that's where it begins. Now, I was on a ski trip one time and I fell and injured my tailbone, and I was laid up for a couple days. But probably the reason why I have some issues in my back, so I feel. But it could be a lot more, because we tend to hold things in our body that we don't realize are there, emotional things, and you need to release them through meditation, through going within, and it's definitely a process. But it goes on to say that when you force it, as you said earlier, the person to continually work on the energies and the changes they bring, the positive sides, there are positive sides, is that that person, the extra kundalini to force evolutionary growth within, grief, trauma, fear, and hurtful memories, all aid in the actual blowing open of the subconscious, which in turn releases the energies. So that's a good thing. Now, I have also...
If you're ready for it, that can be a good thing.
Huh?
I said, if you're ready for it, that yes. can be a good thing. But if you're not, you know, you wind up becoming psychotic.
Okay, so what would you say to people that are starting this journey for the first time and they're experiencing physicality issues? Like, you know, I work in a gym and I hear people all the time, well, I had the COVID. Well, I had the flu. I had this, I had that. But I just say, oh, that's just ascension symptoms. And they'll look at me like, what's that? And then, of course, I will share my knowledge with them. But what would you say to them in how to deal if you had somebody in your family that was having physical issues like that? Would you share your knowledge with them in regard to the ascension?
Well, it depends on the symptoms, right? If it's just happening naturally, just go with it. But if somebody was to ask me, you know, I'm trying to have a kundalini activation, I would question whether or not that was a prudent thing to do, to try and force it.
Right. Well, I don't believe that I have experienced it, because some of the symptoms that they talk about are unexplained illnesses, erratic behavior, feelings of losing it. I had one of those moments this past week, actually. But again, I was going through some pattern stuff that were coming up during this time. And I was able to acknowledge that through the collaboration in the group session that I had yesterday. So that was good for me.
Can I ask you a question?
Yep.
So what you're talking about seemed to be emotional and psychological symptoms. What about physical symptoms? What type of physical symptoms, if any, have you experienced during the ascension process?
Okay, I don't know if they're physical. Well, like the other day, I woke up with pain in my hip. All right, but then again, I work out, so how do I know it's a symptom? It could just be from a movement that I did, and I might have, put too much weight on or something like that. So I don't really know. I have never been able to. Yeah, that's a hard one for me. How would you?
Me?
Yeah.
I've had a few physical symptoms. So there's the yawning when I do commands,
Okay.
especially in the beginning. I used to yawn deeply, heavily throughout most of the commands. My eyes would water profusely, like my entire face would be just soaked. And I had a beard at that time. My beard would be soaked. And that was all the negative energy coming out. My ears for 1 month, I think 2021, 2022, one of those. My ears, especially the left ear, rang almost the more than the entire summer, nonstop, 24/7. It was so annoying. But what are you going to do, right?
Okay, you know what? Now that you say that, it's got me feeling. I do have some days where I feel like I look younger, and some days when I go, whoa, what happened to me overnight? I'm looking a little bit older now. So seeing different colors sometimes, I hear like a strong whistle noise in my right ear that's really like I'll be sitting there at my desk working, and all of a sudden I'll hear this loud. And the person that's sitting there with me, I'll go, did you just hear that? And they'll go, what? Hear what? And I'm like, you can't hear that. So that would be one physical. I do get headaches. I've had some headaches, and I don't normally get headaches, which that is kind of unusual for me to get a headache. And I don't know if this is an ascension symptom, but I did have a rash on my head a week ago, and I think I shared that with you. I thought it was the LICE, and I was freaking out. I totally got into my head on that one, but it wasn't. But talk about get into your head and just like, oh my God, bugs in my head. I can't do that. But it just turned out to be some kind of a dryness of my hairstylist said that this time of year, your scalp gets dry, but I've never had a problem with dry scalp in my entire life. I'm a very oily skin type girl. But I am getting older, so it could be. But yeah, so when you talk about physical ascension symptoms, those would be a few of them.
Another one for me, which is recently kicked up again, was wiping like the sleep out of my eyes nonstop all day long. The summer where my ear was ringing all summer, my eyes were just oozing all kinds of goo the entire day, all day. I could barely open my eyes when I woke up in the morning because throughout the night, the same thing was happening.
Okay, now I had an incident like that, but it was in just one eye. It wasn't in both eyes. And I noticed that my nose runs all the time. And I'm like, what is up with this runny nose? I mean, I'm not sneezing or coughing or anything like that. Just that. Maybe sleepless nights sometimes, but lately I've been sleeping very well. Deep sleep. And when I'm in my deep sleep, I know that my spirit is out traveling doing something because like 3, 4 in the morning, all of a sudden I'll pop up in my bed and I'll look around and go, oh, we're back again.
Well, you volunteered for to serve with the Vikings, right?
I
Through Grace
sure
the Night Shift.
did. I sure did. And there are some days I wake up and I'm like, what the heck did I do last night? And maybe that's why I have this hip injury. Who knows? Wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't you like to just call up Creation Lightship and say, hey, can you just give me some feedback about what happened last night? But they're not going to tell you.
No. The same thing happens to me. Sometimes I wake up and there's like a pain out of nowhere. One time I woke up, my right thumb was hurting so bad I couldn't even use it for probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks before it started to get back to normal.
Really?
Yeah, and that's all because I volunteered for them too. So stuff happens.
Yeah, and I agree with that because one day I actually had pain in my right knee. Okay. And I'm like, okay, what's going on with this? So I looked it up, and I guess it had something to do with fear of the future. All right, which, kind of, yeah, I think I still have a little fear every now and then. It creeps in, but I do my commands and, I release it. And then this week, I noticed my left knee, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? It's like it went from one knee to the other. And again, I work out a lot. I work out a lot at the gym, so I don't know if I'm overexerting. So if it feels like that's what I'm doing, I change up my workout. It's usually my cardio. I do an incline walk up on the treadmill. So I bring this week, I brought it down a little bit, and I noticed my knees haven't been hurting as much. But yeah, so I have noticed physical. Yes, definitely, 100%. But it is a journey. It's a very interesting journey for sure. Now, real quick, and I don't mean to jump. I think that's enough of the Kundalini. I do still have lots of questions about it, but to be honest with you, in a nutshell, it kind of feels like the same thing as ascension. And I think we'll just leave it at that. How do you feel about that? You good with that, Mike?
Yeah,
All right.
absolutely. You lead the
I like.
way. You got points.
Okay, so I went on this today to look at this over what is it, hyperspace oversoul with Stuart Swerdlow. And I actually watched part of his video. It's a 3 hour long training session. And I'm like, holy cow, this is a lot. So I have to sit there and read notes and try to retrain re excuse me, retain it. Okay. So he has this he begins with the first audio, the flow chart of creation, and he starts with God mind. Okay, the God mind is you're the only one and you become of self. So you are the only one. There's nobody else but you. You can't complain to anybody. You can't complain to God. Well, you can't complain to God because you are God. All right. So then he goes on to say that the next level is your hyperspace, which you become more aware of on the next level of self-awareness. It's another layer of yourself. So hyperspace is like when you daydream, when you're not in the present and you're off daydreaming about other things. All right. And then the next layer goes into the Christ consciousness. So you become more self-aware of who you are. It's like you're awakening, like when we first started this journey and we were all awakening at the same time. It was your Christ consciousness. So you're more self-aware. So all three of these are identical, which makes the perfect triangle. Okay. But the only difference with them is that they all have different intensities, or you could say frequencies. Are you familiar with that?
A little bit.
Okay. Well, then I will continue on and share my knowledge with you. So the levels of thought become less dense in this in these three. No, okay, it's the Christ conscious, and then it goes into the angelic hierarchy. Now I know you know a lot about that, so give it to me.
I don't know a lot, but I know some, right? He mentions it in or he describes it in pretty good detail in one of his books, The Healer's Handbook.
Yep, I have that.
Journey into hyperspace. And he talks, I think there's seven different levels of angelics.
Yep. But what he says is that the two energies, okay, the hyperspace, the Christ conscious, and the become okay, become together, and they create the third, which is the angelic hierarchy. So they all are different in different intensities, okay? So now we have our very first archetype. This is what he calls the archetype, which is the triangle. All right, feeding off of each other and supporting one another. So we got all of these different, what's the word I want to say, layers supporting each other. Okay, so you have the perfect creation, the triangle. So you have the hyperspace, the Christ conscious, and the angelic hierarchy. Now, what he says in the video is that's where it should have ended. Okay, then he goes on to talk about. At the angelic hierarchy, the quality of the mind pattern starts to deteriorate. And then we go into the astral level, which is the ET, extraterrestrial. Now, a lot of people think that that means aliens, okay? But what it really means is beyond Earth, non-physical, hard to monitor, non-human. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So then the rest of the levels, and it's kind of like the circle of life, okay? So then you have the next level, which is human, alien, animal kingdom, insects. That's your master intelligence. Planets and bugs, then minerals, then mammal. The level of energy intensifies. And then the subatomic electron astral layers, which is the physical. So everything below God mind is the oversoul. Each layer projects the next layer, and we each use the layer to sustain ourselves, balance ourselves through breathing. So this is why we do the breathing. It is above and below. So you're breathing in everything, and then you let it go to support all the layers. Make sense now?
It makes sense.
All right. Am I confusing you?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's okay too, because I'm still a little confused myself. So that's his analogy, and where we all, so where we all are in the God mind. It's kind of like the layers, like peeling back the onion. Again, ascension. But he kind of breaks it down in the different, Archeal, that we are all personalities. Okay, we are all personalities of God mind. All right. So I just thought I'd share that because, it's very confusing for me. I'm trying to navigate through this time and understand the process. And maybe I'm just reading too much into it. And as Q and Lucia say, just be, just go within, be in your heart center. And it's easy. Better said than done in my regard. Do you feel that it's easier for you to just be and just, because you don't go in the matrix every day like I do.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Okay. You know how they say to just be and to go within and don't worry about all of these different things that we're going through. But I have to try to understand them, and that's why I try to break them down to where I can understand them. So do you feel that in your experience, that you find it easier to just be and to meditate and to go within and, not worry about all the specifics of what is happening to us like I do?
I wouldn't say it's easier. It's easy, but it has gotten easier for me. And I attribute that to all the work that I've done these last 2+ years, especially. All the clearings on Creation Lightship, all the videos that I've watched of any of the 12 that I could find, Stuart Swerdlow, Lucia Nicola Evans, she has a YouTube channel that I strongly recommend everybody go to and watch,
yeah,
especially video number 5. Then speaking with Saskia, listening to all of Q's radio shows, even the ones with Zora, etc. And all of that has the commands, all of that has really changed me, essentially. I can't say it's just improved my life. It's changed me. Last year I was talking with the gal and, she says, so what do you like? And I took a breath and I was about to give, the same response that I've given probably for the last, 20 years, 30 years. And I realized none of the things that I was about to say applied anymore, right? Because all of that was judgment of me, of other people, of things. And that's just not me anymore.
Right.
That judgment is gone. So in that sense, it's much, much easier for me to be. But the whole go within, during one of my sessions with Saskia, she actually taught me what it's like and what it feels like to go within. And she, and you actually feel your heart to start warming up and awaken. And it was phenomenal. And now I know what to look for. And since then, I've been able to repeat that on my own several times. So,
well, I
don't know if that answers your question, but.
Yeah, it does. It really does, because it helps me to understand how you experience. And for me, I don't have a problem going into my heart. I've always been very connected to my heart and my intuition. Now, the problem was, is I didn't listen to it much. And that's where, you know, I went down the wrong roads many times.
Yes. My biggest regrets in life have always come about by not listening to that little voice inside.
Yep. Because I was always told, oh, that's just a bunch of nonsense, you know, and you're crazy and that's ridiculous. But, you know, I was spot on. And I know the feeling of my heart. It's been there my entire life. And I know that there's a light in me. And I know that I share my heart with everyone. I wear my heart on my shoulder. That's just who I am. And, you know, I love being that way. It's not always easy to be like that because the world makes it hard at times. But I'm not a victim either, you know, and a lot of people have that victim mentality, and you can't look at it that way. You have to look at it as if you wanted to have this experience, you had the experience. So what did you learn from it? And it helps you grow as a human being in my perception of it. So real quick, we got a few minutes left. I just want to dive into what Stuart says. He has a book, says Stuart Says Book. And it's The Reality of Sexuality. He says, or no, he doesn't say, well, in his book, it says, men think of sex every few minutes. Women do the same, but do not admit it. But I don't feel that men admit it. They might admit it amongst themselves, but I don't think they go out and say, hey, yeah, I'm thinking about sex every 10 minutes or every minute. So I kind of found that was funny.
You probably don't know a lot of New Yorkers.
So it says, what do you think all the fuss is? Sex is all about procreation, and we as humans have been programmed to participate in sexual activity. Some religions encourage population control in regard to increasing the number of people. Now, there was a show where I asked a mermaid about masturbation, and I wanted to know if it was a program or if it was something natural. But I found this part in one of the books, Stuart Says. And I thought this was a beautiful way of putting it. And it says, masturbation in the soul in the soul's personality is an attempt to self or it, to love itself, balance itself, and I'm tripping over my words. Hold on a second. Redistribute pent up energies. Abstaining from sexuality or sexual activity for a while actually increases psychic abilities, as the two energies are related and dependent on one another. If you are overactive sexually, your psychic abilities are going to weaken. And then it goes on to say, however, they both go hand in hand. After a strong psychic experience or act, sexuality is needed to close off the person energetically, thus where comes in the masturbation, and vice versa. After frequent sexual activity, abstinence is necessary to build up psychic energy. So that tells me that it is just part of our human way, and I don't believe that it is a program. How would you feel about that?
I really have no feelings on it. No comment, no nothing. If that's what you want, as far as I'm concerned, if that's what you want to do, do it. If you don't want to do it, don't.
No. I'm talking about the energies, not the masturbation part, the energies. Okay. So don't get sidetracked on the sex thing. It's the energy. Okay. It's about the energy, not the sex. All right. So I really believe that our energies move through the body, and sexuality is part of that. And you can't just not move the energies. So, in my opinion, this is my opinion, I think it's okay that if you are a person and you want to experience moving the energy, it is okay on however way. And just like Mermaid said to me, if you feel that it's okay, it's okay. So I'm not going to sit here and be ashamed of it at all, because I think that's just a part of who we are. Okay, so let's see.
Can I just add something on there?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay, because I thought of this, and I think it might be very helpful for at least some of the listeners.
Okay.
So going back to sex, we know that sex can be a very, very intimate act.
Yes.
It can be a very abusive act.
Yes.
And at times when it's abusive, the individual, at least one of them, can wind up shutting down. And I've learned recently that what happens is that they create this energetic shell around them, and it prevents them from receiving positive energies. And we can receive that from many different things, even out in nature, right? The trees, nature,
Absolutely, absolutely.
dolphins, horses have healing energy, cats, there are books out there that 10 or 12 different types or missions of cats in this life. Dogs have similar quote missions, if you want to get into that. And I do believe, I don't know if it's that's exactly it, but they are there to help us. And one of them,
Absolutely.
another animal is or are the big cats. And Q has talked about the big cats
Yes.
several times on his show.
Right.
And I learned that they, the lions especially, have this frequency that they can emit that will crack that shell of
Right.
a severely shut down person, an abuse victim.
Right.
And by cracking that energetic shell, it allows them to start healing and removing that completely. So, if you know somebody who's in that situation where they've been the unfortunate receiver of some really bad stuff and they're shut
Animals
down, perhaps get them in front of some big cats,
or animals or an animal. I agree with you
Right,
100%.
or animals in general, but the big cats especially.
Okay,
See what
we got
happens.
a we got two
Oh, I'm
minutes
sorry.
left.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're okay. Just we got 2 minutes left. I'm just letting you know that. Okay, but I agree, and actually, I'm not saying that you should be sexually active to have energies, because. In going into the new world, in as far as sexuality, it's totally going to be different than what it is now. Like, it's not going to be all about the physicality. It's going to be more of the heart connection, and I'm really looking forward to that. And when my partner, whoever that may be in the future, comes my way, I am looking forward to having that experience, and I hope the same for you also. And
Yeah,
so
and
I
not
just.
just one partner, right? I mean,
Right. You're right. And we can get more into that at another time, but we're running out of time. I'm so sorry. I love collaborating with you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You're awesome. And we'll do it again soon, I promise. Okay.
thank you. It's been my honor to be on the show and
All right.
to address your listeners. Thank you.
You rock. And thank you, BBS Radio, for everything. All the listeners, love you all. Have a beautiful rest of your Saturday. Woo!